Valvoline Instant Oil Change wants you to breathe out your oil change anxiety. And breathe in automotive peace. Visit us today.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon The Series podcast. This week, we have the episodes The Heartbreak of Brock and Current Events. Just a quick reminder, this is an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm here with my co-host, Alex.
Hoppy Sunday, everybody. Get it? Hoppy.
Hop to it.
Austin's giving me the look. He's like, not with this shit so early.
Yeah, our other co-host, Austin. It's early. We're recording super early today. Austin, how you doing, Austin?
Alex, you know people don't hear this on Easter Sunday, right?
But I can still say it because the sentiment is still there. Yeah. Happy, hoppy, belated Easter.
Okay, happy Passover.
That works.
You can just say whatever, whenever you feel like it.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope you had a marvelous one.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You know, time is relative anyway, and you know what? Maybe people out there listening didn't celebrate on the actual day. Maybe they're having Easter later, so it actually is Easter for them when they're listening. Yeah. Who knows?
All the kids with divorced parents know what it's like out there to celebrate the
holiday
when it's not the holiday. Do Christmas on New Year's Day. We've all been there, right?
Happy Leif Erikson Day.
Hinga-ding-a-durgen. Leif Erikson. I stayed at that hotel. It's actually really nice in Iceland. So it was called the Leif Erikson Hotel. Great breakfast, friendly people, 5 stars.
Totally in keeping with the Viking way.
That's right. Tradition matters. Speaking of tradition, what has people done this week? What have we done? Anything exciting? All right, I'm blank stares across the board.
I suddenly couldn't remember like anything from this past week. Like, I'm legitimately struggling with what I did.
I celebrated Valentine's Day, Arbor Day, Groundhog Day. Because, you know, that's what you do. You just celebrate holidays whenever you feel like it.
Speaking of Groundhog Day, I saw a headline article that said Punxsutawney Phil had little baby Punxsutawney Phils. Isn't that super cute?
Oh, good. Is he part of a lineage of Punxsutawney Phils?
Probably.
So they keep him in a cage? Is he in captivity? Or is he just...
Surely they're in like a habitat for the 364 days of the year that aren't Groundhog Day, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's like a college mascot where they just keep the lineage going, you know, but they keep them like in a pen throughout the whole year. I don't know. That's a weird
thought. He probably lives in a lap of luxury.
Oh, yeah.
Pampered.
Eats steak every day with mashed potatoes.
Smoke weed every day.
Yep. You can do that too. You can smoke weed.
Don't wake me up early. I'm not right in the head.
Wake me up before you go.
Nobody is. Alex, so nothing this week?
Yes.
You moved in? Are you settled yet?
So, somewhat. I did buy a new desk. So, that came yesterday. Hooray.
You're not recording on it, though. I see that.
No, I'm not, because it's not put together yet.
Okay.
It just came last night. I need some time. And my couch is supposed to get here next week, so fingers crossed. Yeah, then that'll be mostly it, I think.
Good deal. Austin, anything?
I have a question for you, Jacob.
All right, bring it on. I'm going to answer it.
Did you ever finish Mario Wonder?
Yes. Yeah, I talked about that.
Okay, did you finish the final test?
What is that? Is that like the extra levels, or is that like the big level at the end?
Not the Bowser level. After the special worlds, there's an extra couple levels, and that's where I'm at on the game. I sat down yesterday and I was like, I want to finish Mario Wonder today, and good lord, that kicked my ass.
We maybe talk, I'm not sure if I did the extra levels, but I remember there being like a really, really hard one at the end that like multiplayer was really, really hard to do, because we kept dying and I kept, you know, like when multiplayer, if your second player or one of the players dies, they become a bubble, you gotta pop them, so we're trying to advance while trying to pop the bubble, and that became really hard. Like, it took us... We burned a few lives doing it. A lot of lives, actually.
Well, the one I'm talking about is a badge challenge, where it's like a marathon of different badge challenges. So like in one of them, you're always hopping, and in one of them, you're always like, you gotta be floating on your parachute cap every time. Are you talking about that one?
No, I didn't do that one.
That's where I'm at, and I'm, oh my god. And so I googled it. I'm like, well, how are other people doing with this? And people were like, it took me 5 hours to get through the hopping part. And I was like, good god.
5 hours?
So I think I'm just going to play as Nabbit and just say, fuck it.
Yeah, that's what eventually I did that towards the end of the game. I was like, I'm going to take no damage. I'm just going to be, because it's, like I said, two player was fun, but it gets like pretty menacing towards the end. I know the Mario games, they always, like, There's always the game.
The one level at the end.
Yeah.
Where they're like, okay, and now it's going to be like a real video game.
Yeah. And in Mario Wonder, they like have the stars or whatever. And like, it would be like 4 out of 5 stars difficulty. And then the last one's like 8 stars. And that's out of nowhere. It's just like the first one before that's 3. Then you go to 8 stars. You're like, I mean, I get the, I guess they blow their load at the end with all their difficulty.
That reminds me of the PTSD I still have from Yoshi and Poochie's Woolly World. Austin, you got me that game, I think, 1 year for a gift or something. But I never finished it because it got to the point where it was almost impossible to get that, like, fourth extra star at the end, like the bonus star.
Yeah, because you were trying to finish the bonus levels before you did the regular levels.
I can't help it. I'm just a completionist like that. And then I gave up.
I have a confession to make.
We're here for you. Yes,
spill it. Spill the tea.
I don't like Yoshi games.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm including Yoshi's Island. They're not for me.
They're a different breed. I wouldn't say they're my favorite either, like in the Mario adjacent game realm, but the woolly, like, felt little aesthetic, I mean, that was like super cute.
Yeah, I've never played a Yoshi game. The closest Yoshi game I played was Smash Brothers. That was the only time I ever played as Yoshi in a video game.
Yeah, and I played Xenoblade because I played Smash Brothers.
There you go, that counts.
I played so much Fire Emblem through Smash Brothers, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's how I did too. I played a lot of Pokemon through Smash Brothers too.
Hey.
My week, I went to Dave and Buster's. You guys ever been there?
Dave and Buster's?
Did you bring children or was it just you and Leslie?
It was just us.
I will say, Jacob, that I haven't, personally me, I have not been to a Dave and Buster's in like 20 years. So I have to know the story of, like, was it just on a whim? You guys were like, I want some bad pizza and some screaming kids all around me. Like,
no, we just really, we enjoy arcades. Every time we go to an arcade, we have just fun. So it was like a little birthday, late birthday celebration. And it was like, dude, I had so much fun playing these games. It was like a nostalgia blast. And plus they had a lot of games there that were, it wasn't like just the kiddie area. It was pretty fun. Like we played like Halo, Terminator, Mario Kart. I don't know. It was just fun. It's a fun area.
Did they have console games?
Yes, they had a bunch of console
games. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It was actually more of console games.
This is different from what I remember, because I remember going to the arcade and it was full of screaming people and it smelled like feet. And it's just, it had that, like, smell, you know?
I don't know. No, I went to a fancy one. We drove away to go to, like, a fancy one. And like I said, it was, like, weird, because when I went there, it was more about the ticket and prizes aspect. This one was just more about games. Like, they had tickets in a prize area, but it was so small. Like, you know, I mean, the gifts were, I mean, hardly anything. And it was all super expensive stuff.
Is Dave & Buster's also, like, a sports bar?
Yes.
That people go to? Okay. I have trauma from the time I had to go to a Dave & Buster's.
Yeah, this one was almost exclusively a bar. Definitely a sports bar, because there was, like, there were some kids running around, but there were people that were, like, eating and watching the, like, the big basketball tournaments going on right now. So they were, like, you know, crowd around watching basketball.
Last time I went to Dave & Buster's was also during March Madness.
we just live parallel lives, don't we? We just have different experiences.
It was crazy. Like, I was a secret shopper.
Yeah.
This is back during my temping days. And so I was a secret shopper at the Dave & Buster's. And like, I have to see if they card me for alcohol or whatever. It was so crowded. You guys. Yeah. I don't know how you live, Jacob. I was like, get me the fuck out of here. I literally left. I was like, okay, so it's too busy for me to check. That was a horrible assignment, by the way.
The fact that you were a secret shopper still tickles me to this day. Like, I would love to do that in theory, but then I feel like it would probably be miserable and not at all what I'm thinking.
Oh, it was just boring.
Yeah.
It was boring, and they literally had me driving all over the state, and they were like, do this in 4 hours. And I'm like, I can't do that in 4 hours, you guys. That's impossible. There's March Madness happening at Dave & Buster's. That's going to take me 5 hours.
Who do you work for? Is it the state that does that, or is it like the corporation?
A temp agency.
Oh, okay.
Probably, I don't know. I don't know who they were hired through. Probably the Drug and Alcohol Administration.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Probably like some government contracts it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mine wasn't crowded, though. We went super early in the morning, though, too.
Okay, I was there, like, during the game.
Yeah, I made a mistake doing that. The one near us, the other one that, like, you pay and you get to play for a bunch of, like, the games are free, but you just pay an entry fee. We went there during, like, a big college football game. Oh, my God. It was trying to play a game. You had to, like, push people out of the way. Like, I'm here for the games, not the game.
I was trying to get a drink, and I couldn't do it.
Y'all would just say they carded me and walk away. They did it. We're good. We passed.
Oh, you should have seen my performance of being, like, oh, can I have a drink? And they'd be like, oh, sure, can I card you? And I'd be like, oh, guess what? I'm a secret shopper. Here's your little thingy.
Wait, so you have to announce
yourself? Yes, I have to make a grand announcement of who I am. It was so ridiculous.
Oh, that's embarrassing. That's
awesome. It was so embarrassing.
Did you have, like, poppers of confetti? Mm-hmm. Like, they got it right. You're just like, yeah, shoot them off.
I should have. That would be more fun. I didn't know what I was doing until the day of. I didn't have time to prepare.
Like, isn't the whole point, like, to kind of be, like, clandestine and be, like, you know, taking your secret notes and, you know, did they do this? Are they set up like this? Or, you know, what's the criteria? And then you take your little secret notes and then you report back later so they can either give them a gold star, be like, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you know, naughty, naughty, or whatever. Like, not,
naughty.
I'm the person right here, right now in front of you.
Well, I'm glad no one didn't ask for my card, because then I had to be like, you're in trouble with the government now. And I didn't want to do that.
You should wear like a trench coat and like a hat or something, walk in there and be like, hello.
Oh, by the way, I totally got clocked as a narc, because I had to go into like one of those smoke shops.
Oh my God.
And be like, one of your finest tobaccos, please. One of your finest. And they literally saw me coming through the parking lot, and they all looked at each other and they were like, that's the secret shopper. And I entered and they were all like, are you the secret shopper? And I was like, yes, I am. And they all laughed at
me. Wait, so did they tell them, like, beforehand, like, expect a secret shopper sometime between the hours of 12 and 3 o'clock?
They must have gotten a heads up.
Oh.
Could you be any more obvious?
They looked at me and they were like, you don't smoke.
Well, they probably have regulars. You know, they probably have, like, a certain clientele that always comes in. And you were not that person. So you're like, oh, that's not Billy.
Yeah. I imagine places who sell, like, addictive substances probably have the same people come in every few, you know, days or weeks. So you probably were the newcomer.
I don't know. I don't vape. Don't vape, kids.
Yeah.
Do Zen pouches. You'll be all right.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
It's
is that the newest trend?
It's the newest trend.
What is a Zen pouch?
Nicotine pouch. We can get on with the episode this week. The Heartbreak of Brock, which is probably the better one of the two. And then Current Events, which I found kind of boring.
Can I just say, I wish our current events were boring. That'd be so nice.
That would be. You know, we can only dream. We can wake up. All right, the randomizer has spoken this week. And Alex, you are 30-second summary. Austin, you are doing The Heartbreak of Brock. And then, of course, I get Current Events. Of course.
Why did I have a feeling? I had a feeling. I was thinking. I was like, this is going to be the week that I'm going to summarize. I had a feeling.
I got a feeling like Black Eyed Peas.
That tonight's going to be a good summary. That tonight's going to be a summary.
You it's going to be a summary. 30
seconds in 3, 2, 1, go.
So Brock is unable to find the Pokemon Center in the town they're at. So he tells a passing woman, hey, you know, I... Can we start over? Okay, nope. I'm really off. Nope,
12 seconds.
Oh, no.
Give her a redo.
I'm sorry, I was really off.
Okay, talk backwards, Alex, and then to rewind it.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Brock is having a really hard time interpreting the guidebook. They can't find a Pokemon Center, so they set up in a park. A Nidorina runs up, followed by her trainer, who falls into Brock's arms. She falls in love with him and introduces herself as Tamaku. Brock is stunned by this because he's never been in... Somebody had been in love with him instead of him being in love with them. And this whole wacky antics ensues. Team Rocket appears. They kidnap her, pretend that they're going to marry her. She falls in love with James because he saves her life. And then... She ends up in a coma and falls in love with a doctor at the end.
Time. Good job, Alex. Time. I'm not going to lie, Alex, too. I feel hungover for some reason, and I didn't drink last night. So I don't know what's wrong with me. So mine's going to be messed up.
There was a lot happening in this episode. There's a lot to fit in here. So
yeah,
it was a good episode overall, I feel like.
It was a very good one because I love this mix up with Brock getting a dose of his own medicine.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Wait, you didn't?
I thought it was okay. It was on a festival, so I appreciated that.
That's true. The festival of love is what they should add.
I do remember this episode. I feel like that's kind of, it's not like frequent for me that I actually like remember one of these old episodes, but I do very specifically remember Tamaku because her name was bizarre and it stood out to me.
Yeah, this is the one episode from this period that I actually recall like readily off the top of my head. So yeah, that's a good point, Alex. Like, I couldn't tell you current events happened.
No.
No.
With a gun to my head. I would not recall that episode.
No, I couldn't. No, I couldn't either.
Get ready for some heartbreak, you guys. The Pokemon Center is no... what the fuck is this note I wrote? I was clearly... It was late at night when I wrote this. Ash asks a random woman where the Pokemon Center is, and Brock asks where her clitoris is.
Whoa. Okay, that was out there. All right.
I don't know what I was thinking of that one. So, okay, the Pokemon Center...
That's a 3 a.m. thought.
The Pokemon Center is nowhere near, so the twerps decide that they are going to camp in the park, which is something we've commented on from those Pokemon chapter books, where they did the same thing, and we were like, they're going to get arrested. You can't do that.
I'm surprised they don't have, like, they may not have a Pokemon Center, which I guess is like a hostel for these kids traveling around, but I'm surprised they don't have, like, an inn, at least, like, some kind of place where they can just... have a roof over their heads.
Maybe they should have said we have no money, so we can't stay a regular hotel.
I mean, the town they're in seems to be a pretty well-populated town with, like, buildings and such all around. Like, they don't have a single hotel or bed and breakfast or something.
Yeah, like, it's not very well set up for, like, 10-year-olds to go out on this journey across miles upon miles upon miles, and there'd be very little places for them to stay and get food from. Only the strong survive.
Normally they find random people to help with their problems and stay in their house for a day, but no one's come along yet.
Don't speak too soon.
What if the people like secret shoppers, like they come and they help the trainers? Oh my.
I mean, we could headcanon that. It'd be like there's a whole tradition of Pokemon journeys, and so it's part of the culture for if you see trainers that you put them up for house and board, and everyone's prepared for this to happen. So that's why they always have extra bedrooms. We could pretend that's the case.
Yeah, that's more fitting.
They already have, like, those pop-up cabins in the woods and, true, like... Which, that's surprising to me. It's like, if a backwoods, like, Johto can have, like, pop-up cabins every 50 feet, then how come this well-populated town doesn't seem to have a single place for them to stay?
They gotta stay in the fucking park, though.
Okay. Ugh. Destiny and all that.
Well, they're staying at the park, and Brock is getting some water. Oh, good, we got fresh water, clean water supply. And a Nidorina is also enjoying this fresh, clean water from the fountain. And then Nidorina's trainer, who's like straight out of Sailor Moon, comes running up and she trips and falls into Brock's arms. And wouldn't you know it, she's completely in love with Brock.
Love at first sight.
Because who wouldn't be looking into those deep, soulful eyes that Brock has? And...
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't know. You guys laugh, but, you know, if he can cook and clean and do all these things, I mean, those are all A pluses, right?
But she doesn't know that yet.
She can just tell from the way he is.
Well, girl is horny for love and marriage and commitment.
Yeah.
Because she says, I'm ready. You got a white tux. I got a pink dress. Let's go get married right now. And Misty's like, great, let's go.
Misty's really shipping. Misty ships this episode really hard.
Misty's like, I want to get Brock laid.
She's good looking out, you know? She's like, Brock, this is your one fucking chance because every other time you've ever fallen in love with anybody, it's never worked out. So of all the people who actually like you, maybe you should just fucking suck it up and take what you can get.
Mm-hmm. Misty has a vested interest in she's kind of on her game, being like, I'm watching out for Brock. Brock is hopeless. Brock is an idiot, and I got to get him to have a girlfriend. But at the same time, she's also in the wrong, very much so, because she's like, what I just said. She's like, Brock is hopeless. I need to get him a girlfriend, no matter the cost. This random girl comes along. Brock, marry her immediately.
Yeah.
So that Misty's kind of in the wrong here. She has 10-year-old, let's all get married and have monogamy brain.
Okay.
I see what you're saying. You know, it's like you can't force these things. If he doesn't like her, then he doesn't like her.
Yeah. Right.
It's not fair to her because...
it's middle school drama stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Misty just loves love and she doesn't know what it actually is.
Very well
Which
said.
Is on point for a young girl. Just the idea of it.
She doesn't know the realities of it. What did we think? Okay, let's just get out of the way. What did we think of the little hints of Misty liking Ash?
I was surprised that that was back.
Yeah, that was caught me off guard.
Okay, I thought we were past that, but I think, I don't know, that's currently kind of weird, because I think she sees love, and then it makes her kind of think she likes Ash, kind of thing.
But she doesn't.
No. I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, but it was out of place. It's weird. Anytime they try to do that, I don't like that.
Yeah, she loves love, and Ash is a boy, therefore she likes him. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah, I don't like that.
So, I hope this isn't anybody's quote, but I'm specifically wanting to point out the part where she is talking to Ash, like, they're witnessing this happening, like, Brock being fawned over by Tamaku, and she just makes the general comment, I don't know, I guess it's one of those things that can be interpreted either way, because she's looking at them, she's looking at Brock and Tamaku, and she's like, oh, yeah, you know, Ash is like, I can't believe it, like, Brock married, can you even fathom that idea? Like, that's crazy. And Misty says, well, you and I will be married someday too. But you can think of that either way. Like, is she saying that, like, her and Ash, or Ash and somebody and her and somebody? Oh. Like, they both separately be married to somebody else at some point as well. Like,
yeah, that's a very good point.
Based on her expression, I thought it was, she just meant in general, growing up and
that's what
married.
I thought. Because yeah. She's not looking at him. She's just looking out in, you know, at Brock and Tamaku, like, in a general, like, wistful kind of thought that she's having. Ash is the one that looks at her like, what the fuck? Like, you and me, like, no way.
Ash is like, I thought we were past this.
Yeah. That's also that, like, young thing, like, girls think about that more than guys do. They're probably leaning on that a little bit. But yeah, she probably, like you said, Alex, she probably just means that one day they both will.
I mean, I don't know. That's kind of a generalization, you know, as far as like, well, all young girls dream of being married someday or whatever. Like,
well, that's what they tell you. When you get married, they're like, I don't know, we've heard this in movies before, like the girl takes a lot more seriously than the guy. And they're like, you don't understand. She's been thinking about this her whole life. You've been thinking about this for weeks. We've heard that in movies before. So that's probably, you know, and that may or may not be true. I don't know.
Okay, it makes sense for Misty to be like, love, love, love. But I will say, we have other girls in the length of the show, very rarely more than one at a time, but we've had other girls in this show who are not like that.
Yeah.
So, we got different types of people represented.
It's almost like girls on a monolith. Oh, that's shocking.
All right.
So, okay, the other Ash and Misty thing that happens is Misty is talking to Brock and says, believe you me, this is not an exact quote. She says, it's hard to like someone who doesn't like you back. So I think, is that the end of Ash and Misty? Is that we're putting it out of its misery? Misty acknowledges it's not happening.
If she ever did think that, like at the beginning, because we talked about this in the early episodes where they had that running shipping thing almost, you know, it was like kind of flying right under the surface of like, oh, they have a thing for each other. Or at least like Misty has a thing for Ash. And I think maybe you're right, Austin. I think at this point she's like, her saying that is like, even if she ever did like him, be like, okay, well, he's very obviously not interested back, so you gotta let it die. And I felt that too. I was like, that's so real. Like, how many times have you liked somebody that just never gave you the time of day back? And it hurts, man. It really fucking hurts, because you take it personally. You're like, what is wrong with me? But that's just the way it goes. Like, not everybody, like, I feel what you said was true before. It's like Brock is completely within his right to be like, you know what, I'm just not digging you. Like, that's fair.
Mutual love is like a big deal. You can't just love someone and expect them to love you back. You know, it's got to be, you know, that makes the person more attractive to you.
Right. But why would you want to be with somebody either that doesn't like you the way you like them? Like, that's just a recipe for disaster. Like, if you're in a relationship, you deserve to be with somebody that feels the same way about you, right?
Yeah. So. Unless you just like using people.
So, Brock. Brock is now betrothed to this random girl named Tamaku, who explains that her name comes from Teddy Ursa Marie and Cubone. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
Nope.
She seems to have a weird, quirky thing where she likes to make up. And this is, okay, I felt this. I felt like this was very, like, teen girl fantasy. Like, she would make up names for, like, people that she liked. I don't know. It's just kind of the whole, like, she's making a fantasy world.
The name she makes up for Brock is Xabacloy. Did I write that right?
I didn't even write it because I couldn't even. I went back a couple times to, like, hear what she said, but I couldn't
get it. I listened to it on every speed available to watch the episode in, and I still didn't understand what was going on. 4 times, 2 times, 1.5, 1.5, 0.25. Got nothing. I got nothing.
Nothing.
Tamaku is cute, but what the other names she comes up with are garbage.
What did she say? She said execute, tough like an execute, which false. It's an egg, which is not tough.
Eggs are tough. I did a sign experiment about eggs being tough.
Oh, we've talked about this before with the parachute.
No, this isn't a parachute. This was I cut an egg in half, and then I stacked dictionaries on top of it. And it
no, we talk like, about this too. We talk about eggs a lot on this podcast. Yeah,
I love
I'm
eggs.
Sorry. Was this like raw egg or was this like a hard-boiled egg?
It was
egg?
An eggshell.
Okay, I beg to differ because I was over at Austin's the other day, and we were making cake again. And so I went to go crack an egg open and just tap it on the counter like one does to crack it open. I tapped it and it exploded in my hand. There was egg everywhere.
You're too aggressive, Alex.
Apparently.
None of this matters anyway because executes are seeds, not eggs.
That's a good point. But they look like eggs.
I had egg on my burger last night. God, it was good. We can keep going.
That sounds good.
Ooh. It does. It was so good. Avocado too.
Ooh, God. That's like the ultimate burger.
Dude, I'm getting hungry. Let's go.
I'm too. I didn't have breakfast. Okay, let's go. Okay, so Brock has some stupid fucking name. So Tamaku has put them up in her giant estate. Her and her father.
Dude, I'd be in love with her after seeing that house. I could put up with that for money.
Well, we know what Jacob's into. Money.
What was the deal with her fucking dad? Like, he was like, hello, random children. Yes, my daughter wants to marry you. I'm completely fine with this. She's only like, I don't know, 14 or 15. Like, this isn't bizarro at all.
Wait till the end of the episode on that one.
Yeah, I know. I have things to say about dad and he, whatever. And he's just like, yes, randos, come into my house. And also, here's my life. And yes, my daughter loves you. Oh, perfect. Like, there's some trauma, I think, happening in this family. Like, I don't know what it is, but got a bad vibe.
We'll get back to that. Okay, dad's a weirdo. Dad's like a super scientist rich guy who has like a huge estate in a giant playroom full of Pokemon.
I feel like he's an absent father, and that's why Tamaku like makes up like fantasies, because
this is consistent in Pokemon. Like, if the parents are absent, the child has like this beautiful room. Like with the Entei movie.
Yeah, I got Entei vibes for some reason.
Yeah, so that's a consistent thing. Like, even James, remember James's house? Like, his room was just like...
Because it's overcompensating. It's like their failures as a parent, so they make up with it by lavishing their kid with, like, all the material things they could ever want.
Which is
but
true.
That never replaces a parent's love.
No, it's true.
I will say, though, you would think they would have, like, a live-in cook or something, but Tamaku loves to, like, make dinner herself. That's one of her hobbies, I guess. She has a giant tossed salad on the table.
She's going to eat. She's gotta make her own food.
Why did you say that way? I feel like that's a euphemism, Austin. Why did... What?
I just noticed that giant salad bowl they had. Anyway.
Okay.
So it's Tamaku, who grew up with one parent who was never attentive, had to teach herself how to make salad to survive. She is going on and on about Brock being the love of her life and all this. And Misty and Brock have the moments we were talking about earlier where she pulls him aside and is like, you're pathetic. Marry this random girl because otherwise it's the end of the line for you and you may as well become a eunuch because you got nothing to offer anyone, Brock. You're just worthless. So marry Tamaku.
Wow. That's not an ego killer. I don't know what is.
Misty's harsh. She's trying her best, though.
She is.
The next day, I guess the twerps have stayed over at this giant estate instead of in the middle of the fucking park. Which for once makes sense because these people would have spare rooms. The next day, Tamaku has her neat arena, and she said, wouldn't it be so great if my husband had a neat arena so that we could be a matching couple? And I thought of this in advance, and I just so happen to have a Nita Reno right here.
Wow, she's thought of everything. Yeah,
she's got it set up. How many guys do you think she's been through?
It's probably like three a day. That's why the father's not perturbed by this at all. Team Rocket appears, and they're going to steal the Pokemon. But some fuckery happens with Wheezing Smog, and somehow they accidentally take Tamaku instead of the Pokemon.
Classic mishap.
So Team Rocket does where they do, where they go away a little ways. But surprise, they kidnapped a girl.
Don't you just hate it when that happens, when you accidentally end up kidnapping a girl?
And you get Stockholm Syndrome really quick, like instantly.
Yeah.
Well, she does, because, oh my gosh, James is the perfect man for her. She's going to wear a beautiful blue wedding dress for their wedding.
Well, they have matching hair. So
yeah, no, it's going to match his hair. And they're going to have the exact same scenario where they walk up an endless magical staircase. They cut the 12-foot cake. It's going to be great. And Jesse says, this is perfect. James, marry this girl so we can steal all her Pokemon.
And get rich.
I love the fact that James has a traumatic flashback to his ill-fated engagement from before.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a call back to Jezebel.
Yes.
Like, he was like, absolutely fucking not. Like, I'm never going to get married because of that whole trauma. Like,
I think Jesse says the word fiance. And then James has like a trauma flashback to Jezebel and immediately climbs up a tree for no reason because he's crawling away from the horrors of commitment.
Dude, James is like the luckiest guy ever. He cannot escape wealth. Like, every girl that falls for him is like super rich and has this mega mansion. He's a lucky dude.
This should have been a James episode. Let's be real. This is way more interesting than Brock.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, guys.
I like both. Because Brock never gets anyone and he finally gets it and he doesn't want it. So that's kind of ironic.
James's name is... Oh my... What the fuck did I write down?
Medusa.
I didn't even write it down because it was even more insane than Brock's. And I was like, forget it.
Medusa.
Did she say what the Pokemon that made that up were?
I think it was Magikarp, Dewgong, Vulpix, and Sudowoodo.
Oh, that's right. For God knows what reason, I didn't write it.
She has these ready to go.
This is like her eighth time trying it. Of course she's got it ready to go. Everybody's a
She's got a Rolodex of these. She's just like, okay, which one can I pull out?
Well, there was a very interesting scene. Cut back to the Mega Mansion. Twerps and Tamaku's father are going to go looking for her. And there's this crazy moment where Ash says, we got the whole town to pitch in. And the camera, like, cuts over. And there's, like, this succession of, like, virile young men who are like, we're gonna get you, Tamako, we're gonna save you. And it was a wild moment because I'm like, has she gone through all these guys?
Oh yeah,
that's such an interesting thought. Like, I now that you've mentioned that, like, it is a town mob of like the young men in the town.
Yeah, it's like the 20 something guys.
You know what, we're not gonna shame anybody here. She's sowing her wild oats, she's playing the field. Good for her.
Her dad owns the town, so she probably walks through town and sees one guy, likes him, then she sees the next guy, and then falls for him instead of that guy. So she's got this jealous line of people wanting her. So that's what's probably going on here.
I just thought it was funny because all the men were like really into it. They were like, we're gonna find her, we gotta save Tamaku. I'm like, are they all... Here's another theory. She hasn't gone through all these guys. All these guys know her strange behaviors and know she's filthy fucking rich. So they've come, and they're going to be the one to save her, and they're going to marry into the family.
Could be that.
They're going to be the one to be her, like, Prince Charming and win her heart and then become filthy, stinking rich as a result.
Right, for at least 45 minutes.
Well, hey, 45 minutes, better than nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's enough time for anyone.
I like that theory.
Jacob.
What?
Jesse's all in, and she and James are disguised, and she comes up with this ridiculous scenario where she and James were passerbys who saved Tamaku from the evil clutches of Team Rocket, and Tamaku's just like happy-go-lucky, all this bullshit. She doesn't care at all. Tamaku's father is like, oh, lovely, come on in, and Tamaku will serve you up some food.
So what was, like, I guess nobody fucking cares because they're all oblivious, but James being her fiance that, like, saved her from these ruffians. Okay, that makes sense. But, like, what was Jesse's role? Is she, like, playing the sister? Is she playing, like, because she was like, oh, we're going to live together as a happy family. So, like, Jesse would obviously be there. So it's like, what is her, how does she fit in adjacent to James? Like, what is her relationship there?
Well, Jesse announces herself as the maid of honor. So I guess she would be James's sister in that scenario.
I mean, your maid of honor could be anybody.
It could be anybody. You know? That's the bride's choice.
But I mean, she's like inserted herself into that role.
She'll take, Tamaka would take anybody. There's no women in this town anyway.
That's true. I mean.
There was that one lady at the beginning.
That's right. The one lady.
The passerby woman.
Maybe that was Tamaku's mom. I don't know.
She's out on the streets. Dad didn't like her.
You're my maid of honor by default because no one else lives here. Anyway, the twerps come home and they're like, ugh, we can't find Tamaku anywhere. And they've been off on a wild goose chase because Team Rocket set up a fake Meowth balloon scenario. So the twerps have come home to their giant mansion estate and find Team Rocket and Tamaku, and Misty immediately seizes through these disguises and rips off Jesse's glasses, and Jesse's crazy hair jumps out of her bun. Basically, Team Rocket, the gig is up, and they run off with all the Pokeballs that Tamaku's father has, and now it's time for a battle. At one point, Misty says, Poliwhirl, directly attack James. And so, of course, Tamaku jumps in for James's defense and gets attacked by Poliwhirl. Ash sees that this scenario has happened, and he says, you're going to pay for this indignity, Team Rocket.
This girl is Delulu.
What?
Like, she, Tamaku's Delulu. She's crazy.
Delulu, I like that. That's like one of her names.
Probably.
Oh, Alex.
Tamaku Delulu.
Yeah, I was about to say, Delulu Tamaku.
That's my favorite anime.
Right? She's like, I can't stand for this. I'm going to fight against you guys who are trying to save me. And she, Stockholm. And Missy's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you're on the wrong side. You don't even know this person. He could be a serial killer for all you know.
She doesn't care. She likes it.
Apparently not.
She likes the thrill.
And maybe Ash was trying to, like, cover their asses because he was like, oh shit, we're attacking Tamaku now? No, we're not. Team Rocket. Team Rocket. Attack Team Rocket. They're the bad guys.
Yeah, it's that who shot Hannibal scenario. Oh my god. Yeah.
So Team Rocket get blasted off. And for a second, I thought for sure Tamaku was going to get blasted off with them.
Wouldn't that have been funny?
But we're almost out of running time, so that does not happen.
Now it goes off the rails.
Oh, yeah. So Tamaku has been grievously injured by Poliwhirl's bubble attack, it seems.
Water gun.
Oh, water gun. The twerps are going to be sued by Tamaku's father, and they are going to go to jail. Just kidding. That doesn't happen. There's no confident police force. What happens is a choice, because Tamaku is at her bedside, and a doctor is looking her over. And her eyes open, and she sees the doctor, who must be at least 30 years old.
Yeah.
And, of course, falls in love with him. And Brock, meanwhile, has finally admitted defeat, and he says, I love Tamaku now, because I had time to think it over.
He's trauma bonded.
Trauma bonded.
He is trauma bonded with Tamaku, but she's two men past him by this point. She professes her love for the doctor, and the doctor says, Tamaku, I know this is sudden, and we've never met before, and I'm twice your age, and you're a minor, probably, it seems. Will you marry me? And Tamaku says, yes, doctor, whatever your name is, yes!
This is wild that this is happening in front of her father and some rando kids, and her dad's just like, ah, they grow up so fast. Like, what the hell? He's completely okay with this?
This is why I think the men of the town have all been, like, scheming.
This guy's not even a real doctor.
No, he's just a dude.
He's just a dude with a stethoscope.
Yeah, where's his medical license? Like, I don't even know. I think her dad was, like, hit on the head. Like, I'm not sure what his problem is, but I don't think he's all there.
I saw the radiation from his, like, science experiments. It just melted his brain.
He's like, okay, rando, like, come into my home, attend over my ailing daughter, propose to her right in front of me. I don't even know who you are.
This happens every day.
This is a common. So this is, she had a husband yesterday that she divorced, and then now she's on to the next guy.
Yeah, she's married everybody.
We've seen her go through three guys today, so.
In 20 minutes, she's gone through three guys. So, yeah, imagine. Imagine that ratio.
Why am I getting, like, a Black Widow vibe or something? Maybe that's how they get all their money. Like, maybe they, like, kill the unsuspecting men and, like, take all their stuff. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's where he gets all his Pokemon from. Ooh. He steals them.
Maybe it's a dowry.
Oh my gosh. Their plan was to get Onyx, Geodude, Pineco, Timothy, and Victory Crobat. Bell.
I mean, that's all. That's
and Weezy right and there. Add them to their collection.
That makes, now that I'm subscribing to this, like, I'm going to say that they have been preying on young, naive guys, and every time they, like, make one of them mysteriously disappear, his Pokemon collection just grows.
Okay, so why are there no women in town other than the one lady? The dad already went through the women, and now we have to move on to the men.
No, he got rid of them all.
Oh my god, you guys. What if it's a situation where they had the women and the women were married to these guys and the women mysteriously disappear and Tamaku swoops in and she's like, oh my god, you poor thing, your wife just up and left you. Let me comfort you. That's how they do it.
We always go to murder. That's always our go-to.
That's the only explanation.
Is there any other explanation?
For people disappearing like this, it's the only explanation.
It's more palatable than this doctor married scenario. That's icky.
I'm getting Get Out vibes from this episode.
Something sinister is happening behind the scenes.
Something wicked this way comes.
All right. Heartbreak. Heartbreakers. Heartbreak Island is what this place is.
And it's over now. The episode that you guys love so much.
It was good. We had a lot of talk
about.
It was
memorable.
Yeah.
It was bananas. Like, it was cuckoo banana pants. Like, I liked it. It was different.
I have to propose something. I have 30 minutes. Do we want to just skip the LVP MVP or do we want to, what do you want to do?
Fast track it.
Real quick.
Go.
Real quick.
Okay. Austin, you're first, followed by me, then Alex.
Okay. MVP. I said I was going to fast track it, but I've forgotten. Noctowl. Noctowl made an appearance, so Noctowl gets MVP, and that's the first one I could think of. LVP, James, you're having to relive his trauma. Okay, the quote is going to be, James says, "Don't you realize that I belong to Team Rocket?" Tamaku says, "Oh, that's fine. I'll root for you at every game." James says, "Listen, Team Rocket is a secret organization dedicated to evil." And Tamaku says, "That's fine. Every husband should have a hobby."
Oh, that was the best one.
I'm going to propose we always get 30 seconds to do this.
Go.
I'm going to give my MVP to Ash for not falling for the lovey-govey, I don't know, not falling into the trap of this episode of false love. I'm going to give my LVP to Tamaku's dad for being a murderer. And then my quote goes to Brock, and it's actually really sweet. But he says, "I know, but if she's good enough for James, she's good enough for me."
Oh my!
That was rude.
That was rude as fuck.
A little sweet.
Oh god,
sweetness there.
All right, I'm gonna give my MVP to Misty. I mean, her heart was in the wrong place, but I don't know. She was trying. She was just trying to, in her own misguided way, help her friend, because from her limited view, she's like, well, you have no other options because we live in the present. The future does not exist. So you better just take what you can get. Even though she didn't realize that, you know, Brock is a human too with feelings. So I don't know. She tried. I'll give her that. My LVP is obviously going to be Tamaku. Surprised nobody said that already, because she's absolutely delulu and needs some therapy. Everybody could benefit from some therapy. My quote is going to be from Jesse when she is introducing herself to Dad and she's like, "Here's the story of how the fateful lovers met." She's like, "Instantly, James sprung into action. He knocked Team Rocket around like they were made of cardboard. Your daughter was saved. Then they met. It was perfect, beautiful, like something someone with an overactive imagination would dream up in her unfulfilled fantasies."
That was fucking great.
That was great. I love the fourth wall being ignored in these episodes.
Yep.
Okay, speeding us along. Current events. Alex, you get 30-second summary, and you don't get to do a redo this time.
I will do better, because there was nothing happening in this episode.
3, 2, 1, go!
So they're in a field, and there's some wind turbines, and they're like, oh my god, that's really cool. Team Rocket's there, they come across the service station, they break in, because they're looking for food. Ash also happens to wander in, and they find the electric Pokemon security guards, and it's a bunch of wacky Scooby-Doo hijinks. The Ash gets saved from the security lady that comes and lets him out. Jigglypuff is there. Bayleaf evolves. Well, Chikorita evolves into Bayleaf to save Ash, because he's hopeless without her, and I'm stalling for time. Okay.
Okay, Jacob. Go. Run.
That's about it. There's not a lot that happens in this episode, so we can get through this pretty quick.
Austin's panicking. You shouldn't have said 30
time
minutes.
Time limit.
He's great at deadlines.
Time means nothing on a podcast.
We're going through a field here, and it's like a windmill farm. It's It's kind of sad. There's a bunch of dead Pidgeys everywhere, but it's okay. They just ran into it.
Oh, they're all from the Pidgey carrier service.
That's right.
What was that one Pidgey's name? Ken, with the weird eyes?
Yeah, Ken.
Ken was the one who actually made it through. I guess his eyes somehow can track the safe routes. So Ken actually made it through.
His wall-eyedness saved yeah, him. His
crooked eye got him through. We get to see all our friends here, which is cool. They let all the Pokemon out to dance and prance.
Actually, just to correct you really quick, Jacob, they don't let anybody out except for Ash's four Pokemon.
Not even Noctowl.
Not even Noctowl, just the starters.
All those dead Pidgeys on the ground. You're not going to put a flying Pokemon out there. Onyx is too big.
Noctowl was saved.
Well, thank God.
They don't remember Geodude and Pineco exist.
Yeah.
Misty has completely forgotten that she's a trainer. I was kind of surprised she did anything last episode.
But... she forgot she has Pokemon.
She has Togepi. That's all she needs.
Oh, I forgot to mention. I almost watched the episode after this because the side I use has autoplay. So it autoplayed the next episode and I paused it and hit next. Because at the end of this episode, I was like, what the heck happened? How did we get this Pokemon? But I'll explain that later.
I love how your website was trying to save you from this episode.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
It's like, forget this. We don't even need it.
Yeah. This is the Ash and Chikorita episode because everyone kind of wanders off in one direction. Ash and Chikorita go another way and they find this door and they go in it and then the door seals shut behind them. And Team Rocket's actually sneaks in there too. And Jigglypuff is there. Jigglypuff is back for this episode.
That was completely unnecessary, I feel like. Like, I feel like Jigglypuff didn't add a single thing to this episode.
Yeah.
My own personal.
They wrote the script and it was 2 pages short, so they threw in Jigglypuff.
Yeah.
This was definitely a ham-fisted episode. Like, this was somebody sitting down and be like, okay, we need a way for Chikorita to evolve, but how can we do that without just having a time skip? Is it that much of a spoiler? I said it in the thing. This was really bad. Like, I don't know. It just, of all the things they could have written to have her evolve, I don't know. My feeling was...
this was a candidate for worst episode so far, you guys.
Yeah.
I agree.
We're inside the building now. And like I said, Jigglypuff's in there. And there's just like a shenanigans where we kind of like go through this maze. And we keep running into these Pokemon. And there's no human guards. I guess, I don't even know what this is powering. I guess it's some city way far off. There's not a city near us. I don't know why this is here. Obviously, it's powering something. We just don't know what. Yes, Alex.
Can I just say, okay, my original thought with this episode was like, okay, we come across this mysterious like substation. Obviously, this is a locked government building, which who cares? Locks don't mean anything, right? They just let themselves in. But I was thinking it was going to be more of like a something's massively wrong here. Because like the way they set it up was like, where is everyone? Why are there a bunch of Magnemite floating around? Oh my god, now there's some Electrode. Like, I thought like the people were in danger somewhere. Or like something happened.
I was expecting like a Giovanni or Butch and Cassidy to come along. And like they've hijacked it. And like Chikorita like saves it and evolves kind of thing. But nah, that didn't happen.
Like, I thought the guards were going to be tied up somewhere. Like, it was going to be some sort of shenanigans by Team Rocket or something. Like, stealing the power, stealing, I don't know, something.
How goddamn boring is this episode that we're coming up with this?
Because...
yeah, I was thinking, like, something's actually going to happen. But no, literally, they just maze through it and they run into, like, these electric Pokemon. Like, I was saying, like, a Magneton, Magnemite, Electabuzz that are guarding these separate rooms. And then Jigglypuff is following them. And every time, the only kind of gimmicky, funny thing is episodes, every time Jigglypuff gets run into, they either attack it or, like, trip it up to where they take its microphone and, like, chunk it, like, down the hallway.
They straight up reuse the same animation twice.
They did, yeah, yeah.
It was so lazy.
That kind of continues for a little bit, and while that's going on the inside, we're running it, like I said, running all these electric Pokemon that are guiding it. Misty and Brock try to get in, but they can't because somehow the door's shut now. Like, the lock works. Which made me think that, like, this was going to be a more diabolical episode, like Alex was talking about. Because somehow Ash got in, but no one else can. So, like, this is, like, a thing to steal his Pokemon. Like, it was planned, but it's not. It's not at all. We call the electric company. This woman comes out there, and she picks the lock in a few minutes. And now Brock and Misty are able to get in there.
You know, the whole time... I was just thinking, when the security, like, electric company security lady comes, and she's like, yeah, your friend better be careful in there. Like, the Pokemon have been trained to attack anybody on site, because they're, like, guarding this substation, I guess. I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, do Pokemon have like a union? Like, are these Pokemon being paid for doing this job?
They
like,
absolutely do not.
These are taking advantage of these poor creatures. Like,
yeah,
I guess they were working there. They're like employees is basically what they are doing. Question mark.
Why does the power plant need 300 employee security guards?
I don't know why they need hordes of Magnemite, Electrode, Electabuzz. Like, I don't know. And there's no people running the show here. So who were they even guarding? Like, that's the mystery. It's just bad writing. Sorry.
Wait, there's no explanation of really what's going on here. They're just there guarding it from nothing. Unless this thing's been trying to be broken into multiple times before.
But they're not even on the outside. Like, they're not on the outside. The door's locked with a high-tech, sophisticated electronic lock. There's no Pokemon guards. There's no posted signage saying, like, no trespassing, Pokemon on duty, like, nothing.
Is this in any relevance to the game? Does anything like this happen in the game? Like, I was thinking that, like, power... Do you remember the power plant? Was that Red and Blue?
That's power plant in Red and Blue.
It kind of reminded me a little bit in... like Gold and Silver, like when you go into the Team Rocket hideout and there's like a bunch of Electrode.
Those poor Electrodes.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you have to knock out the Electrodes to put them out of their misery or something?
It's when you go in, it's part, at least in Heart Gold, Soul Silver, like you team up with Lance, you go down in there, you have to knock out all the Electrode to like stop the radio tower broadcast from happening or something.
Oh, you know what this sounds like? A more interesting episode.
Oh, yeah.
Then this crap.
Could you imagine if Lance showed up, right?
That would be awesome.
Or we could have had a completely different story altogether.
We could have had a story.
See, that goes back to... Austin made a good point. That goes back to what you said earlier, Jacob, about like you thinking Butch and Cassidy were going to show up. Like, this should have been a Team Rocket operation.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, like even the electrician that shows up to let him in is actually working for Team Rocket. Like, it would have been...
Ooh, what a switch.
Yeah, it would have been a lot better. But no, we don't get that. I don't even remember how the Pokemon get captured. Like, because I know Chikorita gets captured by Team Rocket in a cage.
In a big cage.
Team Rocket procures a cage from nowhere?
Yeah.
They have a cage on, like, a rolling cart, and they somehow capture, is it Electabuzz and Chikorita?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they start running away, like, on foot.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
They run away on foot. They get out. And then Brock, Misty, and Ash catch up with each other, and then they go chasing after Team Rocket. They're not even in there that long, so Brock and Misty don't really experience any of the shenanigans inside the electric plant. They run after Team Rocket. Before that, Ash gets beat up by Team Rocket, like Victory Bell and Arbok, like, beat him up, because he has no Pokemon, so that's another thing of Pokemon attacking humans.
First of all, he should have had Noctowl with him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, what happened that he didn't, like,
he didn't have any Pokemon with him. I don't know.
We had Noctowl, unless he left his bag or something. I don't know.
I choose to believe they were attacking Ash directly as revenge for Misty trying to attack James directly yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh, that's a good point.
This happened. Well, previous episode, I choose to believe the next day.
This is less than 24 hours, so we're going for it.
I think they just really wanted an excuse to animate Ash, like doing that signature Ash thing that he does where he runs and jumps over a cliff. And then, like, slides down the 90-degree cliff wall. Like, that's happened multiple times, right? Hasn't it?
I wish Richie was there to, like, grab him and be like, no!
Oh, yeah, the last time he tried to jump off the cliff, Richie was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Did we notice that Misty, Brock, and the random security plant lady also do the same thing, but they're, like, way in the background as they do it?
Because they're like, Ash, don't you remember that physics exists and you can't just, like, scale a 90-degree wall? Like,
physics don't exist to Ash. Adrenaline beats all. Ash adrenaline just wins all the time.
It's a magic substance, that Ash adrenaline.
It'd be funny if they cut frames, too. Like, they show Ash jumping off this cliff and then cut, then he just lands. Instead of actually see him, you know, fall down the cliff.
He jumps off the sheer cliff wall and he's like, I gotta try! And then he falls right in front of Team Rocket. Fortuitously, like...
He breaks all his limbs.
I still gotta win! Winning beats broken bones every time. That's actually how Ash heals himself. He wins all the time.
It's his aura powers.
Hashtag winning. Mm. We catch up with Ash jumps off a cliff with Misty and Brock being like, oh no, don't do it. Ash, no, we don't want to see you get hurt. But he does it. Jumps off, lands on his feet like a cat. I don't know, he's still defenseless here, but luckily Chikorita absorbs his aura from the cliff jump and starts glowing and then evolves into Bayleaf. and uses razor leaf to cut the cage open and then, like, blast Team Rocket off, which, well, that's a heck of a razor leaf, isn't it, to cut through metal?
Razor leaf just does whatever you need it to do at any given time.
It can cut through metal, so obviously we need to sic it on living creatures in the name of sportsmanship.
God, that's horrifying.
I was actually thinking that, too. When I saw it slash through that metal bars, which they said nothing could get through, like they're unbreakable, that thing could slice a human, you know, or Pokemon like that.
Maybe it wasn't titanium like they thought it was. Like, maybe Meowth, like, goofed up and didn't order the titanium bars. He ordered, like, the soft pencil lead bars or something.
Or they ordered it from, like, the different set of popular Pokemon magazine. They went cheaper, like the Tamu version, and it's aluminum.
I like the concept that Tamu Popular Pokemon Magazine came into the power plant, delivered this cage off screen, and then left, walking past the security guard who's working on the broken door, and no one noticed.
I'd believe it. Instant delivery.
You wouldn't download a pizza. You wouldn't download an unbreakable cage.
That's right. But that was a really thrilling episode. I know I rushed through
right,
it.
Go.
I rushed through it, but there was...
We got Bayleaf out of it.
Yeah, that was the only thing that happened. Like I said, I know I rushed through it, but there's really nothing that happened. If you're watching this show and you're trying to get through the episode, you can just skip this. You can skip a lot, actually, but you can skip this one. You can skip this one in particular.
God, I'm so looking forward to contest, you guys.
Me too.
Honestly, it's not that big. I know, Jacob, you mentioned earlier, like, you auto-played into the next episode and you were like, oh my God, how did, like, Bayleaf show up? But really, you're not missing anything by it just being there. Like, there's no difference. Like, it's evolved now. It's like, okay, there wasn't some thrilling backstory to it.
No. That's the reason why it didn't bother me when I saw it. And I was like, okay, I guess this happened off screen. That's fine.
It's just Chikorita with a longer neck anyway, so.
And it's like a giant puppy dog. We'll find that out next episode. Or it's not used to its size. We'll find that out next episode. But I'm going first this time, followed by Alex, and then Austin. All right, so my quote this episode comes from Brock, and it's after the lady opens the door. He goes, oh, thank you, miss. Now perhaps you could open your heart and allow my love to enter. Sorry, Brock, you had your chance episode, okay? And you didn't do it.
His one chance at love.
Yeah, and you screwed it up. Way to go, Brock. My MVP, I don't even know if this has one. I'll give it to, oh my God, I don't even know. I'll give it to,
First thing you think of.
Brock.
Oh, okay.
He's there. He's in this episode. Good for him.
He made an appearance.
My LVP, I'm going to give it a Jigglypuff. Because what in the world? What? Why are you here? There's no point. Get out of here.
Fill-in time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Oh, God. Okay. I am going to give my MVP to the wind turbine in the beginning that we see for like 2 seconds. Because it was the coolest thing of this whole episode. My LVP is going to be this electric company, for some reason, employing Pokemon, not paying them a fair wage, I'm assuming, and just letting them kind of roam free and attack at their own discretion. Doesn't seem right. My quote is the only thing I wrote down, because there wasn't a whole lot of quotable quotes this episode. It's when, honestly, I don't even know when it was. It was like Jigglypuff was there, Magnemite go to sleep. They somehow explode a wall. I don't know, but Ash, like, goes down to the next floor and James says, like, that's it. They both must have gone down. Wobbuffet comes out and Jesse pushes him out of the way. And she says, he said down, not clown.
I missed that.
Hey-o.
It was a stretch. Like, I literally didn't.
That just shows you what kind of episode this is right there.
Yeah, even the dub doesn't care enough to put in some good quotes. Like, they're just like, get this out.
There's no material. They can't work with nothing. I mean,
my MVP is going to be Bayleaf for being so cute.
Do we like it better than Chikorita?
Oh, yeah.
We'll find out next episode.
Okay, well, I think Bayleaf's cute. And also, Bayleaf got to have a wonderful day, just her and Ash, and life-threatening peril. That's all she's ever wanted.
Come true.
I know.
Yep.
My LVP will be, God, I don't know, Noctowl for being forgotten for this episode.
Oh.
And my quote will be, oh, can I change my LVP?
You should just give it to Ash.
No, we give it to Ash too much.
Okay.
Okay. During this episode, Chikorita and Electabuzz are fighting. Chikorita's knocked back, and Ash catches Chikorita and says, hey, I think I'd make a pretty good shortstop. And my LVP is going to be Casey, because this episode is about Electabuzz and Chikorita, and Ash makes a baseball joke, and Casey's nowhere to be found, and I'm sure she'd be very sad to hear about that.
We all love Electabuzz.
Yeah, but yeah, not yeah, this yeah, episode.
Yeah, not sad that she didn't appear, so.
I don't know. Should I give it to Noctowl? That's probably funnier.
Just give it everybody. Everybody sucks this episode. You're all MVPs.
Ash, Casey, Electabuzz, yeah. Who the fuck cares?
I'm going to pick Casey because I think she deserves more LVPs than she gets. Okay, there we go.
Wow, you must be really bad to get, like, a character not even appear and they still get LVPs.
Like that quote, it's a stretch.
Ew.
What's on the menu next week, Austin?
You know, you'd think after 125 episodes, I would learn that I need to have the next episodes listed.
Oh, I got them. I can find them.
Oh, you go for it. Ooh, that's a fun twist.
Turning over a new bay leaf and doing what comes natu, really.
Oh, it's a bad episode title.
That's a...
It's got a hyphen. It says doing what comes natu hyphen rally.
Naturally. Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Garbage. Okay. Bye.
Oh, do you guys have any closing thoughts for a round us up here and send us home?
I really liked the heartbreak of Brock episode.
Oh my God. If you compare the two, that one was way better. It's not even close.
I think that we might have just hit a record for like fastest discussion of an episode. Current events, like I literally have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bullet points for that one. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, plus like all the sub bullets I have for Heartbreak of Brock. Like it's twice as much.
Guess how many bullets I have for current events?
2.
32.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
What could you possibly have written?
It's nothing.
Down?
It's nothing. It's notes of nothing. So if you would like to see garbage, go on our Patreon and give us $1 a month and you too can see these notes.
I'm actually curious. I would pay $1 to see those notes because I'm morbidly curious what you could possibly have written down.
All right, well, if you made it this long with us, we would like to say thank you all for listening and please leave us a 5-star rating. If you have any questions or comments, you can send it to outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. again, that is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. we have a Twitter or X account. The handle is Out of Drying Pan. Again, the handle is Out of Drying Pan. We have Instagram. Alex is the post some stuff up there. That handle, I guess is what you call an Instagram account. That handle is Out of the Drying Pan. Again, that is Out of the Drying Pan. And finally, we have a Patreon. You can find out all about that in the link to the description of the podcast. And once again, we'd like to say thank you all for listening and join us next time as this journey continues.